Taste Buddies with Genevieve Rice.
Welcome to Taste Buddies. I'm your host, Genevieve Rice, and I'm here to present one of my favorite people in the world, comedian, writer, lover, Anthony DeSimito. Yes.
Longtime lover of Genevieve's. It's me, Anthony DeSimito.
I just meant lover of the world.
Lover of the world. World. Yeah. Not people. Personal lover of Genevieve's. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah. Good. Yeah. We just had a really delicious meal at your suggestion. We're filming this from Silver Lake, and we went to a very nicely named salsa and beer.
Yeah, it's just called salsa and beer.
Yeah.
And it sounds like it's not going to be great. It sounds like we're just going to a dive bar. But it's much more than that.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was so good. It was very, very delicious Mexican food.
It's really the only restaurant here that I am excited about and that I have gone back and wanted to share the experience with other people. Like, I mean, sushi's fine all the time, everywhere. Yeah. It's fine. If they have gluten-free soy sauce, great. Tacos, taco trucks, taco places are fine, but this restaurant takes the cake. Can we just get into it?
Totally. Okay. Yeah. All right. No.
No. Let's not talk about
food. Let's hold back.
What was the highlights that you found?
First of all, we're served with chips and bean dip, which is kind of a non-traditional like initial setup, and the bean dip is really good. It's a nice refried bean dip.
It's like it's like liquefied because it's dip.
Yeah.
And a lot of times bean dip is like when you buy it, it's not liquidy.
It's solid.
You need a scoop Tostitos.
And I know that doesn't sound great, but it really, it's more like, it's almost between like a soup and a thick dip. Mm-hmm. And it's very flavorful and really good. It's kind of got like a smoky taste to it.
Yeah. Spicy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. And then
it's called salsa and beer, and they bring out dip, like bean dip. Like, they're like, we're going to call it salsa, but guess what? You're not getting that right away. The salsa is saved for the meat. They didn't even bring out a bowl of salsa. Did you notice that? We were just already salsaed with the entree. It was just
the salsa was there in our hearts. They're like, you got it, you got it. Yeah, it was. I like it. I like something unexpected like that. And then I had a virgin mango margarita.
Yes,
it was
which
very
is
good.
Delicious. I've had it before. But non-virgin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Slut. Slut mango margarita.
I will say you guys got your, and my husband, Jeff, who came with us.
Mm-hmm. Also a lover of mine.
Yes. Lover of mine, lover of the world. Lover of yours.
Yes.
Yes. You guys got like your margaritas in like these goblets.
I know. Yeah. I was like, why don't she, the virgin?
And I got mine in like a child's cup.
I'm like, that's how you can tell it's virgin. Like,
yeah, no. Yeah.
I think when I used to do virgin drinks, I wouldn't do that. I would, when I was bartending, I would put a plastic straw and use a black straw for the alcoholic drinks. But that was just me.
Yeah.
But now straws are being defunct and they're just going away because there's this revolution. Did you see the video of the turtle with the...
Yeah, no,
it's not good.
You know, it's going away in like LA and New York, but like...
Arizona?
It's Arizona. No, I feel like it's still going strong in Arizona. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's kind of like the plastic bag thing where it's going to be in Arizona. It's going to be like, you can't ban straws. They're going to be like legislation about it.
Because all the straws just go into the desert, not into the ocean. They're just like going to the dirt, into the big landmass. What do you call it? The landfill.
Landfill.
Yeah. Landmass.
Yeah, the straws are sustaining us in Arizona. Yeah.
Well, Jeff got a strawberry margarita.
Mm-hmm.
I had a raspberry margarita. Mine was delicious. Jeff enjoyed his very much.
I think mine was good. To me, it's a slushy.
Yeah.
To be honest. So I was kind of like, well, this is good. I drank about half of it. It was like really kind of sweet. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot, they put sweet and sour. It's all sugar.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Yeah. It was good sugar. Yeah, it was good sugar. And then, for lunch, we both got enchiladas.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you get?
I had the creamy chicken enchiladas. I was doing this whole, you've heard of red, you've heard of green, but creamy. I was like, these are just amazing. And the only other place I've ever gotten those creamy enchiladas that I've seen that I've loved is Rosita's in Arizona. In
yes,
Tempe.
Rosita's is great.
It's so good. It's this good. It's what we ate. But like, God, something, I don't know if they just packed it with lard. It was just so good. There was butter and everything. And tell me about your enchiladas. They look delicious. I couldn't have a bite. I was like, I can't do it.
I know. We got the world's largest plates.
Yes.
they were so aggressive. I had chicken. Now I'm going to mess this up. So it was moja.
Molcajete.
Molcajete. Molcajete. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. All right. They were like the spicy chicken enchiladas.
Yes.
With a little bit of sour cream and guacamole on top,
which is the best,
and then just pools of refried beans,
and
cheese and like spicy rice, and it was it was so good, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna eat as much of this as I can, which ended up being a third of it. I have a packed, like, full takeout container of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it looks like... When a Spanish dish comes out and it looks like an island, the burrito, the enchilada is the island, and then the beans is, like, the shore.
Yeah.
And then the rice is, like, the waves. The rice was so fluffy.
Yes.
I was like, how do they have, like... All the Mexican grandmas in the bag just working their asses off and like making
they can't
this...
retire. They
can't. No.
they gotta keep that rice nice and soft.
Rice and soft and then a little sticky.
Yeah.
And I was just like, perfect.
Yes.
It was good. Salsa and beer, guys. There's one in North Hollywood, one in Van Nuys.
Okay.
That one's farther from town, from LA proper, but you gotta go. I mean, it's probably on one of those shows, probably somewhere. It has to be. It's so good.
I think a guy Fieri.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah, he'll go there at some point.
Yeah.
And mix it up and yeah.
Spray paint his face on a wall. Doesn't he do that? Spray paints his face on a wall?
I feel like he probably at least has thought about it.
At Matt's Big Breakfast, there's a spray paint, like a stencil of Guy Fieri being there. I think he'll spray paint on the walls, like his face when he goes and visits.
It feels like a threat.
It feels like a dog peeing on your restaurant.
I know that Joe's Farm Grill, like they went to they went Diners, Drivers, and Dives, which is maybe not the name of the show, but what I'm guessing it is
Diners, Drivers, and Dives. Yeah.
Yeah. So something like that. Yeah.
Because a driver is a drive-in.
Drive-in.
Yeah.
Okay. So he goes in, they play the video, they play the clip of him being on the show, and it's like it's
at the restaurant.
Yeah.
And, oh God.
And it's like, it's always a long wait there. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh boy, do you have to? Can you play something else?
So they play the clip over and over?
Yeah.
How long is the clip? Like 3 minutes?
It's like 5.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
Yeah. I love that place. So
don't
it doesn't
do that, guys. Put the whole episode. Put it in slow-mo, add special effects, like, I don't know.
Give him devil horns. I don't know. Make it interesting.
Make it like that one that where we went to the curious room of weird objects when we went to Austin.
Oh yeah, the Museum of the Weird.
The Museum of the Weird, yeah. And so like that episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Like you watch the clip first, and then you walk into the and then that's
we are exposing all the Museum of the Weird's game here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
we're not supposed
to
expose.
No, you.
I did not say what was hidden. So
that's true.
I think it's
fine. You don't know what Unsolved Mysteries episode.
I didn't spoil Museum of Weird secrets. Of who knows what that was that we saw. Jeff had the Molcajete steak dinner, I believe.
He basically he got like
the dinner version of your enchiladas.
Yeah, he basically got like almost it looked like a sizzling. It was a sizzling plate, and then he got a plate of like rice and beans, and then like more tortillas.
It's like when skillets come out and they're really hot, but it was like a skillet without the handle.
Yeah.
Did you get chicken or steak?
I got chicken.
Okay, so he got the steak dinner version.
And it was, I had a few bites of it, and it was delicious. Yeah. It was great. It was, yeah. Salsa and beer, total winner.
Total.
Even at a very frustrating parking situation.
Yeah, but that's how you know it's good.
Yes.
That's how you know. Also, if there's a Mexican restaurant where there's no white people except for you, like that's when you know you've won.
Yes.
It's a Tuesday, by the way. Is this not a Saturday? It was Sunday. It's a Tuesday, and they had like a fucking parking person helping you park. Like that's insane.
Two people celebrated their birthdays there while we were there.
Yeah.
At 12:30 on a Tuesday.
Drum. They're just like happy birthday. I know that's gonna make hits, sorry, but it was just like bad. It was just that's how it felt. Had like how you just heard it. That's how it was. Happy birthday. It was just terrible, but made me laugh so hard.
When they don't happen to you, happy restaurant happy birthdays are so funny.
Yeah, they're like the best. One time, I just moved to Flagstaff, Arizona, and my friend got a job working at Coco's Bakery,
mm-hmm.
Which we all know and love.
Yes.
And so we moved like a week before my birthday, so I didn't know anybody. So, but she already started working at Coco's, like right away. And so I went in to eat on my birthday and sat at her in her section, and I was by myself, of course, because I didn't know anybody. And so, but it was my birthday, so my friend Claire, she's kind of like spacey and like,
yes,
and not the bad kind, like the Kevin kind. She's kind of like an airhead a bit, and she comes out with the entire staff of the restaurant just saying happy birthday to me, and I'm sitting there by myself. And everyone's just staring at me celebrate my birthday by myself at a Coco's.
You were like, what do we do?
Yeah.
He's going to put this in a suicide note. Like, what?
It was just the saddest thing in the world. I still remind her, like, why did you do that? Oh, man. I waited tables so long. I hated doing birthdays. Because what people don't know is like they're a pain in the ass. If you celebrate your birthday at a family restaurant or any place ever that's not in your home, you're the worst person in the world. The worst. Like people, your server, no matter what, hates you. because you have to wait till everyone is seated to go sing happy birthday. If the birthday girl or boy are standing or talking to the person at the end of the table because they didn't get to sit neck close to you, then you're just like, how's it going over there? And you're just like, wait, like you have to get your entire restaurant, like at least three waiters to come sing happy birthday with you. And they have no time at all to do anything. You have to basically give them your firstborn child to get them to sing happy birthday to you, you know? And so you're just waiting there. And finally you sit down and you sing happy birthday. And then all the servers just hate you for it.
See, I don't like to tell them. I could care less if anyone's saying to me. I'm just in it for the free dessert.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Just say, you don't need to sing. When people say that, you don't need to sing to me.
I'm not like, a sultan. It's fine. You can just want the free dessert.
Yeah.
Even that.
You don't need to hear this sing.
Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. I don't need to sing. You don't need to sing your whatever unlicensed version of Happy Birthday you guys have to sing to us.
I think that's why they have to play the drum so hard in case somebody that has the rights to Happy Birthday hears it. It's all Sambir. They can't get sued.
You can't sue us if we don't sing. It's just drums. Mm-hmm.
I had this manager. Oh my god, he was such an asshole. But every time we sang Happy Birthday,
a restaurant manager, an asshole?
And, yeah, go figure. What happened in your life? unless you went and got your degree in hotel and restaurant management, and that's what you want to do. That's where you find your passion. Good for you. Otherwise. Get fuck yourself.
It's usually just some like divorced dad,
yeah,
who like basically like,
or alcoholic mom,
yeah,
yeah.
It's like John Wayne. I always think of like John Wayne Gacy because apparently he managed all these KFCs. it seems like the right. That's like the prototypical like restaurant manager to me.
Yeah, serial killer.
Yeah,
totally
clown killer.
This guy, he would, when we sang happy birthday, he would at the very end go, and many more. But he would do it like very, and many more. And like the whole restaurant would look at him and like, we're just like, oh God.
That's the way that man needs to get attention.
Yeah.
That's the best way he's found.
One time he had an anger problem. And
oh, really?
It was at Cracker Barrel. Yeah. And he had a cut on his forehead that was infected. And he put, like, a Band-Aid on it. And it would keep falling. And, like, and it was just, like, because he was sweaty. And so the Band-Aid would fall off. And so I needed him to go, he would, like, get, whenever that, when that was happening, anybody that was, like, can you go to my, I forget his name. So, oh, it's Dave. I think it was Dave.
Of course it's Dave.
Dave, can you go to my table? And they want to talk to my manager. They're not happy with their fucking egg or whatever. And so he would be like, look at me. I do not want to go talk to anybody out there. Just like so mad that he had to go out there. And I think this podcast has become like bad restaurant.
Like oh, stories. Yeah, this is it's part of it. Yeah. Well, do you want to get into a food diary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You want to do yours first or you want me to do mine?
So it's a 1-day food diary.
Yeah.
Right?
And you
Is it real or fake?
Oh, real. If real? You. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just so embarrassed of what I eat. I'm like, should I just make up healthy things?
I assume most people have done real stuff.
Okay.
Okay.
So I just came from Portland.
Okay.
So can I just talk about the things I ate in Portland?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Unless you want to go first.
Tell us about Portland.
Okay. So I listed everything that I ate that was delicious.
Okay.
From beginning to end. So
Portland, a very good food city.
Yes.
I don't know how everyone there, I feel, is either very trim or like pretty
not healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're like fat vegetarian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I quote unquote, I put air quotes on vegetarian.
It's oh God, is everything is so it's the most delicious, like
yeah just was, whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty intense.
We're on the second floor of a building and somebody trimming the tree, like, just the claw just came out of nowhere and started tripping. That's why we went, whoa. Hey, that's very nifty.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah. Okay, so we're just staring at the device they're using. So the first day I got there, I went to Kenton Station, which is in Kenton, which is a historic downtown neighborhood north of Portland, in the north area of Portland. Mm-hmm. So it's like going up to whatever, Canada. And so I went to Kenton Station and they had a happy hour that involved their food. And there was a cheeseburger. And I'm gluten-free, if you guys kind of guess. Mexican food is great for gluten-free people. In case you just became gluten-free or you are gluten-free, I want to hear this over again. Gluten-free, a lot of things are corn flour.
Yeah.
That are made in Spanish dishes. And you can request things with corn flour if they do wheat flour. And so I always love a Mexican restaurant because of that. They had a gluten-free, they have a cheeseburger and a gluten-free bun was $2 extra. And it was delicious. And I got tater tots with that.
Ooh.
And it was like $6.50.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because it was happy hour.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Yeah. It was delicious.
What was on the cheeseburger?
It was cheeseburger, lettuce, tomato, ketchup, mustard.
Classic
cheeseburger. Yeah. I mean, there were other burgers that were like jalapeno this, like, you know, or chicken barbecue, like burger style. But those were not happy hour. And I was on a budget.
Sounds like you went with the classic and it worked out for you.
It worked out very good for me.
Yeah.
And I got a vodka soda too, because that was also on happy hour. Then I went down. I was staying in Kenton, so I ate a lot in Kenton. And then I went to this place called The Cultured Caveman.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. I haven't been.
And so the display in the window is all plants. That's how you know it's healthy.
Okay.
There's greenery. Ooh. Everything in there is gluten-free and paleo. And so I love that I can just go in there and not worry about asking, is this gluten-free? Is this gluten-free? I could just be like, give me this. So I wasn't that hungry.
I'm sure people ask them all the time anyway. Yeah,
I think I did one thing. I was just like, why am I asking? Everything's gluten-free. The guy that owned it was very hot. He was like this tall, bearded man. And that's your type. So, but I was like, I get it, caveman. Like, you're a caveman.
He has to grow that beard for the job.
Yeah. You are required to have this, actually, to live in Portland. And so I got the kids' chicken tenders because I wasn't very hungry at that moment in time.
I'm a fan of a good kids' meal.
Me too.
Yeah, I feel like that's the way to like kind of get like the gist of the menu sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you get two things.
Yeah.
So I got Kit's chicken tenders, and I don't know if it was mock chicken, but everything that I read was like farm raised. So if it was chicken, it was farm raised. So it's good.
It's good.
And the breading was gluten free, and the strips were smug for children. They get it for children, but at my side, I got Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
And they were huge. The bowl and the Brussels sprouts were huge, and they were like covered in some balsamic vinaigrette, and they were called fried Brussels sprouts. And so they're crisp and just crisp and then moist, and they were just delicious. I got full from the Brussels sprouts. And that was the highlight of that meal.
I remember when, before people knew to roast them, you just get them boiled, and it was
butter and salt on them.
Yeah, and they were just mushy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you can fry them, put them in a skillet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mix them up. So that was delicious. And I was going to go back there, but I'm like, I want to try different restaurants, you know? Mm-hmm. Then I went to Back to Eden. It's called Back to Eden, and that it's in Alberta, which is a very hipster neighborhood, which is single neighborhood.
Northwest Portland, I think, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Northwest Portland. And so it was in Alberta. I took the bus there. I took a photo. My bus drove by the feminist bookstore.
So
I took a photo of it while I was on the bus.
Which I'm sure they love.
Which everyone thought I was insane, probably. I'm just like, ah!
No, it's just, that's their whole life. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they've been on record saying they don't like the show and they don't like how they've been portrayed on the show. And
I felt like I kept waiting to see, because it's my first time in Portland, and I kept waiting to like meet these eclectic people from the show, and it just didn't happen. You know, like there were some characters, but they were very normalized to me, in my eyes, compared to the show, which is a heightening.
Yeah.
They do heighten, and then they are characters, you know, but a part of it is kind of true, what they do on the show, because they're just this certain like attitude, especially the last show I did. Oh my God, I'll tell you about it.
Oh, okay.
I was there for the Portland Queer Comedy Festival, which is really fun. I went to Back to Eden, and then there I got a gluten-free chili mac bowl, which was $8 because it was on happy hour.
I'm not a big... And I'm on record on this on the podcast. Uh-huh. I don't like macaroni and cheese, uh-huh. but I do like the gluten-free noodles I've had.
Oh yeah, with cheese.
Yeah, with cheese. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe there's something about the texture that you like more.
I think so. Yeah.
Because regular mac and cheese, it's kind of we all know that taste, mm-hmm. you know, and it can be very. The cheese gets curdly and the macaroni sticks to each other and it's very unnatural.
Yes.
Like that cheese is not dairy at all, you know? Like maybe it was at one point before it got turned into powder.
Yeah. But it's traumatizing food.
Yeah. Yeah, it's food. Sorry, people, if you like that. I don't. But it was gluten-free chili mac, and it was so good, and it was so much. It was a bowl, and like something about food in Portland, it takes an hour to get to your table. Like everything is served slow. Like you can't be in a rush. People are like back to Eden. Like I went to the bathroom, and I can see through the back door, and there are people making stuff like in the alley across.
Oh,
like,
wow.
There was like a bakery back there and people were taking their time. They were talking. I mean, they're having a good time. I mean, this town moves slow. You do not go in a hurry to get anything there to eat. Yeah. Which I loved. Loved, loved, loved. Because I had nothing to do.
Austin kind of reminded me did that too.
Yeah.
A little bit. Though that was really, when we were there, there was that one taco truck we went to when we were all in a hurry. And they were like, yeah, that'll be 40 minute wait for.
And we were dying from heat stroke. And we were like, I was like just sick or something. I don't know.
We just drove like 20 hours.
Yeah.
And then to do a stand up in the morning. Mm-hmm. and then
we killed a deer
on the way there. So we were just like, 40 minutes, time, life is short.
That was so bad.
Yeah,
that was bad.
Yes.
Yeah. Austin, good food.
Good food.
I like that one place we went to that we went with JT and his girlfriend. I forgot. The
Devil's. Oh, Torchies.
Torchies?
Torchies.
Torchies, yes.
Yeah.
They said tort cheese.
Oh, like, no.
So that's not a thing.
Torchies, yeah. Taco and queso joint. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the shit. And then there was like another taco like place. No, maybe it was a Torchies food truck version that I went to. with Karina Magyar, but I can't remember.
But back to Portland.
Back to Portland. Okay. So I had, and I'm telling you, like, this is what I ate that day.
Yeah.
And then I didn't eat anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I was just like, or I had like chips when I got home. You know what I mean? I ate a bunch of food between 3 and 5 o'clock every day and nothing else. I also got 6 gluten-free breadsticks, a little burnt, a little overcooked, but they were delicious. And I ate them with like marinara and some like creamy aioli, broccoli, something. And it was delicious. Oh, and then my friend Henry Epstein came and visited me, who's also gluten-free, very funny comic from LA here. And he got a gluten-free chocolate donut. And then I got a gluten-free cinnamon roll, which I haven't had a cinnamon roll in forever.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like maybe a decade, maybe 9 years. And it was fucking great. It was so good. There were photos on Instagram on my story. They're long gone now. And then
should have saved them, guys.
Should have saved them. I mean, they might have been saved. We'll post them.
Yeah, totally. So
And then the last place I ate was Rudy's Pizzeria, and it's in Brooklyn, in Portland's Brooklyn area. They just call it Brooklyn.
Okay.
And so I didn't have a car, so it was so hot that day, and it was actually yesterday. It was so hot that day, and it took an hour on the light rail to get to this place because I heard it was so good. I was like, I need to go get their gluten-free pizza. And it lived up to the hype. It was fucking great. And the reason why is because, you know, a lot of gluten-free places are very healthy. So they'll like put broccoli and spinach and you know, this.
Yeah.
They get really fancy. This bar is a sports bar that makes fatty sausage ham, bacon, cheese, like just Italian, like the most Italian you can get out of a pizza, you know, like Chicago style or New York.
The pizza has a mustache.
Yeah. This pizza has like, you know, it's a plumber in a video game. It's so Italian. And so, so they just happen to have gluten-free bread dough. So they'll make their fatty, normal, like disgustingly delicious pizza on gluten-free bread, and that's hard to find because they always whip it up fancy, you know, and healthy, and they take the fun out of pizza. I mean, healthy is good too, but every now and then I want a bite of pizza.
Yeah, I as much as I like broccoli, like I don't want it on a pizza ever.
No.
Yeah. No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And so I had that. I love my pizza with ranch because I am a child. And
no,
it was
we're
just fucking good.
We're from I'm from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I always, it's so always something that occurs to me, and I'm like, no, you can't do it. You can't do it.
Like, you tell yourself, don't get the ranch.
You know you want to, but
it's so hard.
We talked about this on one of our last episodes. We talked about like, I think we talked about, there is kind of something to say about the creamy dressing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like variations of that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I like an Alfredo on the pizza. I like Alfredo sauce with chicken.
I think I'm coming around. I used to not be into Alfredo sauce, and I'm kind of coming around on some things.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's not created equal. That's some bad Alfredo sauce to me is real bad.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's traumatizing. When I make my own pasta at home, gluten-free, of course, I get one of the cheap creamy Alfredo, whatever the cheapest is, because that I get that. He'll explain. I get that. And then I get the fancy 4-cheese Italian, like fancy signature select, like Alfredo sauce. I'll combine the two. Because it'll give you what you want as a child, the thing that's just super gross, and then just all the flavors, and it's so good. Oh my god,
that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah, kind of mixing it. Yeah, yeah, so you
can do that too with regular, with tomato too. Like, it really get ragu, you know, like the cheap ragu stuff, and then get the tomato parmesan, five types of, you know, cilantro or whatever it is, and it's just the best.
If it's got like a picture of Italy on the front, and you're just like, yeah, or especially if it's hand drawn,
yeah, like a hand drawn cheese.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And you're like, ah, it works. I'm like, you did your work here. I can tell.
But usually, like when I'm at home, like when I'm here living here, I tend to eat like relatively. I relatively will have like oatmeal for breakfast, mm-hmm. or a bagel or something like that.
Are there good gluten-free bagels?
Yeah, I get gluten-free bagels. Guess what? Walmart caught up. They have gluten-free stuff. They have tons. Dry and frozen gluten-free sections.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ah, good to know.
Yeah, they have bagels frozen and bagels non-frozen. It is fucking, they're going buck wild.
that's where my family like grocery shops, and like Oklahoma, that's where everyone grocery shops, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, why would you shop anywhere
else?
I'm
at home at a Walmart. I'm like, I'm sorry, I know they're bad, but if you're, and I've talked about this on stage one time when it came up during a show, I'm like, all of you actors and actresses out here, and all of you, like, everyone, you're poor because you're shopping at fucking the Vons or the Gelson's, the most expensive place in the world, or Whole Foods or Trader Joe's.
Whole Foods, like, the CEO is, like, he's basically, like, this insane libertarian who's, like, very against global warming. And paying his employees healthcare and fair wages, and like, he's not a good dude.
He's paying them fair wages?
He's not. He's,
oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you said he was.
It's very against, like, yeah, he's come out and said things about
against global warming naysayers?
Against global warming. He's a vegan libertarian against global warming.
Okay. Isn't against global warming good, though?
What am I saying? Again, I mean, like, he... What? Okay.
He's against global warming.
No, he basically doesn't think global warming doesn't exist. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. Okay. All right.
He's what do you call those? Skeptic.
Yeah, he's a skeptic. Yeah, okay. That's...
All right, he's an asshole then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's an asshole. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh god, what was I talking about?
What you normally eat in a day?
Oh, what I normally eat in a day. I do. I'm like, I tell these kids, shop at Walmart. It's fine. You're poor right now. Later, you can buy other stuff when you get your career going. You know, but right now, you need to take care of you. You need to pay your water bill. You know, we're not fucking around here. You know, it's an expensive city to live in.
That should be Walmart's commercial, is we're not fucking around here.
Yeah. Low prices. We're not fucking around here.
You need to pay your water bill.
Just on the side of the bag of everything you buy. Remember,
you can't call your parents for money anymore. Walmart.
You're not getting that call back.
Oh, no. You're not kidding.
Just specifically for this town. So Portland was amazing.
Yeah.
So here, I'm back here. I had such a routine when I had my day job about what I was eating. I like ate at the food trucks down there, mm-hmm. farmers markets. Like, I would take my lunch sometimes. If I had to take my lunch, I made like a couple of like bagel sandwiches, mm-hmm. or something like that. Or I would take like a cup of like a can of chili, and then get some Fritos from the vending machine and make the Frito pie.
Oh, I love a Frito Chile pie. Yeah.
I'll do that at work. Stink it up. Stink that break room up.
It's kind of sad that that's not really a thing outside of the South.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like it should be more.
It should be more. But I hate
we should all be fatter because of Frito chili pies.
But then the food trucks out there like are so expensive because we were yeah. I was working in a place where it seemed like everyone that worked there was rich, but not everybody that worked there was rich. I mean, because there were guys in suits, you know, it was like Sony Pictures and NFL and reality TV show and Univision. And so it looks like the food truck people think that that area is expensive. And so they charge up the prices. And there's a special place in hell for people who own restaurants and don't put the prices of their food on their menu online.
Oh, is that not a, yeah. I mean, you can do that with like seafood. Like you can do market, but yeah. that's all that tells that's you is all. That's expensive.
yeah. I mean, seafood, that's it. But like these food trucks, when they go to like poor places, they drop down the prices. If they go to like an expensive place, they hike up the prices. And I'm like, and I would pull up the thing online and be like, listen, your prices, you how come this isn't $8 and it's $14 here? And they're like, oh, that was a special event we were catering. Bullshit. If you're catering, it should have been free. I don't know, but it's just like, it just doesn't make sense. And I would fight with them all the time. I'm not embarrassed. Like, I'd be like, I'll go up to this food truck, a food truck that's way more credits than I do, just plastered all over its dome, its walls. And I'm just like, lobster mac? No. How much? 16? Fuck you. And I walk away. Maybe I didn't say fuck you, but they take advantage of people here. They do.
Yeah.
Not everyone's a one percenter. Some people are just trying to get by. and then like stuff like that. They had these fusion food trucks, which some I'm like, you don't need to put teriyaki on tacos. You don't need to combine Asian and Mexican. You don't need to do that.
Yeah. My thing about food trucks is it's kind of like if you don't eat it, if there's not a good place to eat it outside, which there rarely is in Arizona because it's too hot most of the year, then you have to eat it in your car. And that's just like such an inelegant way to eat anything. It's like you either have to do that or you have to go back home. And it's like, I feel like it's just an opportunity to spill something expensive fusion thing all over your clothes.
And no one enjoys eating and driving. It's not.
Yeah.
No one does.
There's someone. Maybe there's someone out there.
Someone out there.
Yeah. But
that's their job. That's yeah. where they feel alive. That's their cup of tea.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I tried. The only food trucks I like are the original food trucks, which are the Mexican taquito food trucks that aren't like that. You gotta pay cash because they're illegal. Then that's when you know it's gonna.
Let's name them by name.
All right, it's Rosario's on Glendale. There's a food truck by my house. Oh, my late night food truck is by my house. It's on Glendale and Fletcher in Atwater Village and Silver Lake. It's really close, so you could probably go there. It's on the Citibank parking lot, and they have molitas, which I never heard of until I got here, and I'm Mexican.
What are molitas?
Molitas are, you know, like pupusas?
Uh-huh.
Imagine that the pupusas, it's a pupusa, but it's like a tostada. It's like a tostada quesadilla.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like they take a corn tortilla and then they melt cheese and meat inside of it and they put another tortilla like that. So it's like a quesadilla but flat and open.
So it's kind of almost like a crunch wrap.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But without the wrap.
Okay.
It's like two tortillas It's like you made a quesadilla with two tortillas.
Oh,
like
okay.
Like that. Okay. You know? But it's small, and they call it molitas. And I think it's Salvadorian or Chihuahuan or something like that, because I never heard of them until I got here. Mm. But they're very good. I love them. what else do I do out here food-wise? Okay. Oh, I get pupusas down the street.
Pupusas are great.
Yeah. They're so good. There's a place called El Buen Gusto, which is now called Los Amarores. I think it's like the Lovers or something. And their pupusas are amazing. That's also on Fletcher. And there's also one on Glendale. There's two a mile away from each other.
Ooh.
And in the same location.
You could like go to one and then like walk to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like a little 10 minute walk and then you're there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just so good.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want me to get into my food day?
Okay. Yes. Do yours.
Well, mine is from yesterday, and I am, again, I'm staying in Silver Lake, and basically, like, my husband and I have just been going to restaurants that are, like, within walking distance. Mm-hmm. So, breakfast yesterday, we went to this place called Coffee and Custard, and then we got...
I've heard of it.
It's just down the street here on Sunset, and we got a Nutella bread pudding that we just basically like we decided to split, and then we got cold brew. Wow. And then let's see. For lunch, I got a the Pho Cafe.
The Fuck Cafe?
The Fuck Cafe. It's like...
The Fuck Cafe.
Yeah, it's like... It's this Vietnamese restaurant that is not marked. It doesn't have a sign. And it was... and so I love Vietnamese food. Oklahoma City actually has a pretty vibrant, like, Vietnamese food community. So it's always nice to see that, because unfortunately Phoenix does not really have much of an Asian food.
Is that the one that's down this way?
It's yeah, it was it's also on Sunset. It's also like, I don't know.
Is that the place that has noodles?
Yeah, it has noodles.
Okay. I had I was gonna call an interview, an audition. I had an audition there to be a busboy. $12 an hour. No.
Oh, no.
look at what I've become. 2 years in L.A. Ugh. I'm just showbiz, people. It was delicious. That Nutella thing sounded amazing.
It was really good.
I was getting water while you were talking about it. I was like, what the fuck?
That was really tasty. Mm-hmm. And they had a whole bunch of different like custards and like that one was more bready, and we just kind of split that for like a small breakfast. But kind of going back to the Pho Cafe.
Yeah, Pho Cafe.
I'm not a big pho person, which is controversial, I guess. I have to be talked into soup.
It's we had pho. I think we had pho once when we were down here during
a
podcast recording, and it was fine. But it's not. It's just it just feels like I'm. It's just too watery for me.
I feel like I like it once I get it, but I for me it's like too much. I don't crave it. I don't crave soup, even though what Jeff got. He got like a spicy chicken soup, and it was delicious. It was delicious pho. But I got a noodle dish. So I got something, and I'm gonna mess this up. It's called a cha ka la von bun, and it was vermicelli rice noodles, grilled fish, marinated in turmeric and dill, peanuts. Mm. Fresh herbs, and then they basically gave me this like vinegar sauce to like to pour over it, and it was just delicious. Wow. And I ate it with chopsticks.
Good for you.
Because I'm a wizard.
I can't do that.
I'm not great at it, but I'm getting better. So
I give up. I ask for a fork. I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend your culture by doing what I'm doing with my hands, you know.
I did okay. It took me a little longer than it normally would, but I managed.
I'm like, it's just a slow process. I mean, I just need to shove it in my mouth already.
Let's see. And then that we had that. I had some ice cream tea. That was very good. And then
green tea ice cream.
I know. I just had iced green tea.
Ice green tea.
Yeah, like iced tea.
They said ice cream.
Oh, tea. Ice cream.
Ice cream tea.
I had a milkshake.
I had a root beer, but with tea instead of a root beer float. I had a tea float.
And then I ended up getting, we went to another Japanese place. We went to a Japanese place that was close to here, too. And I don't remember the name of that one, but it was really good. Mm-hmm. I got the omakase, which I looked up the meaning of that is... it means in Japanese, I'll leave it up to you.
Oh.
And basically what I got was it was like
so
a...
So poetic.
Yeah, I know. I like when other people pick my food sometimes. Mm-hmm. And that's why I do like plated and blue apron, because I like that someone else like just selects it mm-hmm. for me. And like, because I like so many different things. So I got the chef's selection of sushi. Mm-hmm. And which was basically 9 pieces of nigiri, and then which was great.
That's
it was
great. Yeah, that it sounds was delicious.
That was delicious. And then I got miso soup, and mm-hmm. I got miso soup and a little salad mm. on the side,
like a seaweed salad.
It was like a regular salad with like cucumber and like a nice kind of like gingery vinaigrette.
Okay, that sounds yummy.
It was really good. That and
sounds
like
a great meal.
Yeah, and Jeff got, he got like a simple like eel and cucumber roll, and
a simple eel.
Yeah, it was like, you know, something kind of basic for like a Japanese restaurant, but their eel there they like smoke or something.
Oh.
And so he gave me a piece of it, and I was just like, this is so delicious. This is it was so good. It was I was not emotionally or sexually ready to eat that. I was like, this is so good. it was great. Yeah, a good piece of eel can be like perfect.
Oh, I've never had eel. I'm scared.
Oh, it's, I'd say, and I know everyone says this, I think it kind of tastes like, it's not super fishy. It kind of tastes like chicken a little bit.
Oh, really?
Like, and like,
that
kind
scares
of
scares me.
Like good eel to me tastes like barbecue chicken.
I just eat but better chicken. I don't know. I'll try it one day. I've never actually seen it. Maybe I've seen it on the menu and I don't know it's eel. Maybe I've already had it.
Sometimes it's called unagi.
Unagi?
That's kind of, so you might.
Sometimes it's called Jasper.
Yeah, secret eel.
Yeah.
you've had eel. You just don't know it.
Secret eel.
Yeah, and then I did a couple of mics, and I got some like fancy still water at a place that was a wine bar, and
just a glass of water.
I got they had water in a fridge in a bottle. It was like a So I felt like okay, that was their non-alcoholic thing. So I was like, okay, I'll take that.
Just a glass bottle.
It was a nice bottle, and like they gave me. It was a big bottle, so that's okay. What I had. And yeah. And then
thanks, LA.
and then I went and got some club soda at the Hollywood Improv, and then I was like, oh, I mixed up a little bit. I usually get a lime. Got 2 maraschino cherries.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Hollywood Improv has good food, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've gotten their tacos, their fries, their nachos. Their food is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because comedy club food is not known for that.
It's not known for that. Hollywood Improv's got their shit together. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah. So that was my food day. Okay, so
you ate all of this in one day. Just like I ate all my Portland food in one day.
So do you want to get into your perfect food day?
My perfect food day? God, have I had one? Oh my God.
I mean, okay. You're making it up. Okay. So like it's whatever you want to eat, your favorite foods. Okay.
They all consist of things they shouldn't eat. Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm never like a salad, you know. Although sometimes when I do eat salads a lot, I start craving salads. But I'm never like, this is my perfect meal.
I will say that I kind of, as I've been trying to diet and lose weight, I did make a list of like my favorite salads around town. Mm-hmm. That I'm like, okay, this is a good salad. Yeah. So I'm not to the point where I crave salad, but I'm to the point where, like, that's a pretty good thing to eat.
My problem is when I go to a healthy place where I should get a salad, they have healthy options or gluten-free options where there's, like, gluten-free cheesecake. Mm-hmm. And then I end up going to a healthy place and get cheesecake because it's gluten-free. You know, that's just not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, and sometimes healthy places when they have like fatty foods like that, like they're just like, they're made by people that haven't had fatty foods in years and they don't remember how good they can be. And it's just a shadow of what the food can be.
Pun intended, a shadow of the food. Can be. The shadow of the
cow. This is the memory. This is the memory of the veal
I just ate. Oh, God. Okay, my favorite food day would be, of course, in the morning, it would be something chorizo.
Okay.
Chorizo and eggs is just my jam.
It's good.
It's just, you can't go wrong. It's just, you can have a burrito or tacos or make like an egg sandwich chorizo or an egg bagel.
Or just chorizo, a scramble.
Or a scramble. Had some scramble. And I love like the Spanish like household that always has leftovers from last night. So there's beans and rice, like Spanish rice and beans. I'll eat breakfast with beans and rice, like eggs. It's just...
You're like, I don't give a fuck.
It's so good. So good.
I think a lot more people eat leftover rice for...
Yeah.
Yeah.
For breakfast.
Yeah, for breakfast, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Then are letting on. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm hoping to uncover with this podcast.
Are people eating rice for breakfast? Well, they have that rice with like it's like Asian rice where they have like little pieces of egg.
Yeah, I did. Actually,
and peas and like.
A couple weeks ago, I got a fried spam rice. Uh-huh. From a place, and I ate about half of it, and then I ate the rest of it for like kind of breakfast lunch. Mm-hmm. And it was so good.
Oh my God, that sounds great. And then I also love for breakfast the chilaquiles.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Mexican eggy or just egg and tortilla. That's
breakfast nachos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Breakfast nachos. For lunch, something perfect for me would be like a gluten-free pizza, a couple slices, like maybe something like a white mozzarella pizza or a red sausage Italian style pizza. There's a great place here called the Stand or something like that, where you can take, and I know this doesn't apply to you, but you can take your own bottle of wine into the restaurant and order a gluten-free pizza and you just have a date and it's just fucking.
Oh, so you could do they have quick service.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? You just bring your wine. Okay.
Yeah.
You're so fancy. You know the words. Also, I love wings.
I love
Buffalo Wild Wings, lemon pepper rub seasoning. I love a wing that's just salty and lemony and garlicky and not very wet.
Yeah.
And then,
so you like a dry rub?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Not down there, gentlemen. That I need a spit.
There you like some wet.
Yeah. Somebody was doing this joke about Clarence, the Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what he would say? Oh, you know what? It's from the Jim Jeffries shows, and I'm not supposed to talk about it.
Okay. I thought you were going to be like, I don't want to talk about Clarence Thomas. He depresses the fuck out of me.
No, I think it, I don't know if the episode's aired yet. So anyway.
Yeah.
I was like, who is this comic that was, it was a TV thing.
Okay.
And so I love that. And then I like, all those things with ranch, of course.
Yes. Yes.
And so for dinner, I love chicken mole, which is really...
Oh, yeah.
You know that those Doña Maria mole things at Mexican restaurants?
Yes.
Those are the shit. They're the shit.
I love mole. I actually, like, that's one of the first, I'd say, next level Mexican
dishes
that I made myself, because usually what I would make would be like tacos and enchiladas and stuff like that, and that was something that I was like really...
Did you make it from scratch or did you buy the bottle?
Oh, I made it from scratch.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff. It's like you gotta buy the chocolate, you gotta buy...
Did you use flour in it?
No, it was like chocolate and peanut butter and tomatoes and like jalapenos and chipotles,
we should have a cook night and
make that. Oh yeah.
Because I've never made the actual mole. Like if I made it, it was with my mom and she was just telling me what to do. But oh my god, mole is the best.
Yeah, it's really good.
Chocolatey, smoky. Ah, it's so good.
I will say the first time I made it, I put in way too much chipotle. Mm-hmm. I thought you're supposed to put in the whole can, and you're not supposed to put in just like one. Mm-hmm. And it was real spicy. It was still good. It was just really spicy.
I love chile rellenos.
Yeah.
They're just the best.
Like yes.
Egg battered fucking chile rellenos. Have you ever had those?
Yeah, my mom actually makes really good ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She's stuffed and oh.
Yeah.
They're just so good. I've heard of, like, meatball stuff. Somebody was telling me meatball stuff. Chile rellenos. And I'm like, I'm dying. Where are those?
I haven't seen, many fusion foods with chile rellenos. And I feel like that's what we're missing. That's what the food truck should be selling for $16.
Yeah, chile rellenos, fucking, I'll pay for that. Give it to me every
I'll
day.
Eat that in a car.
Yeah. There's this, I don't know where I was seeing this, but there's like this restaurant that like, they're making like gourmet Mexican corn. Like, and they're just selling out.
Like the elote?
Elote. Yeah. They're just like making it, like putting bacon wrapped around it and stuff. And I'm like, you guys, I'm done. I can't. I'm dying.
Give me your money.
Give me all your money. Yeah.
I'll give you all mine.
Yeah. I love for dinner a queso appetizer. It's just the best. You can't go wrong. Or guacamole. Either one. It's just so good.
I mean, growing up in Oklahoma, queso is like a big thing. Like almost every restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of shocking to come to Arizona and like that's not really a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really weird.
But cheese sauce. Who knew?
Cheese sauce.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I also love like. And if I'm not having that, if I'm going to go more like Southern barbecue ribs and wings are always good for dinner for me.
Yeah.
Just like ribs are just my jam. And with some coleslaw, some baked beans, it's still good. I still love it. And for dessert, of course, gluten-free strawberry cheesecake.
Yes.
Always good. Pay homage to our Golden Girls.
Yes. Anthony and I had a Golden Girls podcast. Thank you for being a podcast. It still exists. I don't know why I'm talking about it in the past tense. It's still out there.
We'll do another one. We'll post this on there just to see what people do. What is this?
We talk about cheesecake in it. Don't get mad.
Yeah. You talked about one thing, Golden Girls. I'll do it. I don't care. Yeah. That was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It's 3:20 now.
Yeah.
Do you need to get going or?
Is there another
thing? We can do one last thing.
Okay, we can do that. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So, if you were to have your own restaurant, if you were to start your own restaurant, what kind of restaurant would you start?
God damn it. It would have to be Mexican.
Yes.
My mom would be so upset if I don't do that. Even in her grave, she would be so mad. Oh my God. I'll have her create the menu. All
right, great.
Her and my sister and any other female relative that I trust. Because the guys don't fucking cook. They're all dumbasses. I would do that or something I would have like gluten-free burritos, you know, because you can never find that. It's never that situation anywhere. So I think you would have access to that and other gluten-free things that you don't find at Mexican restaurants, like a gluten-free taco salad, because the shell is made from the wheat flour tortilla.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just stuff like that mm-hmm. that we gluten-free people crave and can't get. I mean, that's what I would do.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or get with my friend Shiloh and do gluten-free fry bread.
Ooh.
Yeah. That'd be so fun. Gluten-free anything. And I would have like gluten-free churros. I would have gluten-free like flan. I think for the most part it's gluten-free. And just like, yeah, like tres leches cake that's gluten-free. For, you know, this stuff never. My mom went to, and things are catching on in Mexico. My mom went to a sugar-free, also sugar-free stuff is very important today. My mom went to a Mexican candy store in Mexico where everything was sugar-free.
Wow.
Duvalines, like, and that's just new because everyone in Mexico is so unhealthy because all they do is eat carbs and sugar and drink. And so, I mean, that you can say that with every...
That's a lot of cultures.
That's a lot of cultures. Yeah.
I mean, I'm Irish and German, and I think that describes them both, too.
Right. But, like, here we have sugar-free selections and gluten-free selections. They're just... They're always 10 years behind. They just got Borat. Everyone's down there going, my wife! You know, it's just... But they're catching on.
I think for me, I've had this idea for years. I want to do a... you know those conveyor belt sushi restaurants?
Yes.
I want to do the conveyor belt, but I want to do it with Spanish tapas.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I like that.
Yeah. So it's like all these like small plates mm-hmm. and like, and you know, I mean, it could be anything from like olives to spicy nuts mm-hmm. to, tortilla española mm-hmm. And like, you know, like bacon wrapped dates or like
great.
Or like octopus with chorizo, you know, and like so no one steal this idea that I'm probably not gonna do, but I think it'd be so fun. And
well, that's what we're just talking about, discovery of ideas of people getting the same idea at the same time in different parts of the world.
Well, I mean, conveyor belt sushi is so fun. I mean, it's just like there's like anticipation, and to be quite honest, it's not usually very good sushi. It's usually
because it's been out.
Yes.
It's not fresh.
Yeah. So
unless it's packed with people and they're just putting it out there, then you know it's fresh, you know?
Sometimes it's still not fresh. Still not fresh. Sometimes it's still not. Sometimes people are just excited. They're because just.
Because it's not on a warmer and it's not frozen. It's kind of just in a hazard zone, kind of.
Yes. For people, yeah. Yeah. It's for people that aren't in the restaurant or haven't worked in a restaurant. The hazard zone basically is when it's warmer than 41 degrees Fahrenheit, right? Yeah. Which I remember my food handlers licensing and stuff from 10 years ago.
Between like 140 or like 120 and 41 degrees, like that.
Yeah, zone that's the danger. Like that. Yeah, you want to you basically like room temperature. It's yeah. Like anything that's like
foodborne illnesses yeah. start to. Bacteria starts to create.
Yes.
So yeah. So
yeah.
But, figure that out, conveyor belts. Maybe it was like a warm conveyor belt, like it was like a heat lamp conveyor belt situation. Mm-hmm. But then you burn your. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it'll work. It would work better for Spanish tapas, where some of the things are like. Not especially fish. Like cheese. Yeah, they're not fish and they're not supposed to be super fresh.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I still like it.
I like it. I'm not trying to crush your dream. I love the idea better for this than sushi.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Well,
fantastic. Right. This was so fun.
Yeah. Yay. All right. So this is probably coming out like late August, early September. Mm-hmm. You have anything up on the horizon?
Well, my birthday is August 30th.
So send you birthday.
Send me. Send me birthdays.
Send me birthdays. Yeah. We'll sing a happy birthday to you at a restaurant.
At Cooper's Bakery. Well, I said by myself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Claire.
I'm gonna be at God damn, like all these things are like maybe I'll do them, maybe not. I'm performing at the Queer Cumbia at 9 o'clock, August 26th. I think that's at the clubhouse. September 6th, I'm at Tiger in San Diego. My show in San Diego that I'm, it sounds like I'm from San Diego. I'm not, but I have a show that I'm starting monthly, with a guy named Connor Loughman in Hillcrest. I think the place is called The Project something, but the show is called Black Dick. The show is called Big Dick Energy. I was going to say Black Dick Energy. Yeah.
People of all races and creeds can have big dicks.
Yeah, all of them. it's been proven by science. And so... if you just want to follow me, I'm at Anthony DeSamito on Twitter and Instagram. Follow my show at the Hollywood Improv at Yafeel. Oh, that's at the last Tuesday of every month now at 9:30. It used to be Sundays, and that's at Yafeel's show. So, awesome. Yeah, yay!
Hey, so for me, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram at Genevieve Rice. And I'm also doing Altercation Comedy Festival in Austin. Mm-hmm. That's going to be September 26th through 29th.
You're not supposed to announce that. I'm just kidding.
No, we're out. We're selling tickets. Okay, never mind. And then what else? Yep. Basically the podcast has social media, and we're at Taste Buddies Pod on Twitter, Taste Buddies Podcast on Instagram, and Taste Buddies with Genevieve Rice on Facebook.
Yay.
And you can find us anywhere. So download us and like us on social media, and eat well. Have a delicious day, guys.
Have a delicious day. Bye.
Bye. Taste Buddies with Genevieve Rice.